Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here today and to join you on what is really a critical crossroads. I just want to take a moment and go back to why we're doing what we're doing in Ontario right now and where we've come from and where we're going, to give a little context to some of these individual decisions that, if you just look at them on their own, sometimes seem like a series of one-offs, but are in fact part of a very specific strategy. You may remember in 2003 we had a major brownout in Ontario. The impact of that and the cost to our economy was rather dramatic. While it had a lot to do with connections and a larger failure of the grid, our transmission systems and our grid was in the worst state of disrepair that it had ever been in. Billions of dollars had not been invested. Same time, we had really had our transmission system on the verge of collapse in many parts of the province. We were also facing 30 or 40 years of deferred maintenance and investment in the refurbishment of our nuclear plants, which produce about 52% of our energy. The other pillar of our energy policy previously to 2003 was a heavy investment in reliance on coal. The toxins and pollution in our air were giving us 40, 50, and 60 days a year of air quality warnings, where people were sometimes advised to stay in, and some of the highest asthma rates. I was out with a group of young kids playing hockey, and I asked how many of them used inhalers. 4 out of 7 kids in that group were using inhalers. The cost to our healthcare system was $2 billion, and as we're going forward in the next 20 years, to 1 in 4 of us being over the age of 65, respiratory illnesses, particularly for the retiring boomer generation, are going to become one of the most expensive drivers of our healthcare system. So, as my friend David Crombie, the former mayor of Toronto, used to say, everything is connected to everything else. If you listen to some others, things like microfit solar make no sense, ethanol is a waste of money, and the premier's Premier McGuinty is on some campaign of dangerous and expensive energy experiments. Well, what's the truth? We're rebuilding our grid. We've invested billions of dollars, not only to rebuild our grid, to make it smart, to include a feed-in tariff system that Al Gore refers to as the greenest and smartest clean energy policy in the Americas. We are massively reinvesting in our nuclear plants. Should have been done a long time ago. We're going to pay more now than we probably would have if we'd seen more leadership on energy in years past, but our nuclear capability is getting back up to what it needs to be in the near term. And my own view of it is that's a bridge technology. We have to use that to transition into cleaner energy. We've also understood that energy is not just about producing the energy that keeps our lights on and allows our businesses to run. Energy affects our healthcare system. So the closing of 5 now of our 7 coal plants, the 2 remaining ones to be closed in the next 2 years, will not only have a major health dividend and benefit to Ontarians and cleaner air and healthier children and a safer air environment for our aging population, it will also help us retool those plants to better uses. We've also linked our solar energy into farm communities. We're concentrating increasingly on local generation, trying to move away from large centralized generation. So there's a huge emphasis on CHP and on investing largely in energy for my ministry, as well as Minister Duguid and the energy ministry. But we're linked into WMAFRA, our agri-food and rural affairs. We have 10,000 microfits now that are on small farms. These are allowing our farms to use their land more productively. In addition to growing food, they are also producing solar for small and mid-sized communities at an extraordinary level and producing another income to the hardworking family farms across Ontario that keep them sustainable and viable so they can do the other jobs they need to do, which is not just produce energy but produce food as well. It is an integrated approach. I think it's a very thoughtful approach. We've also introduced risk management for farm communities, which has helped stabilize food crops. I think one of the most important things, if you talk to working farmers in our province about that, as someone who's been a big city mayor and been involved in urban regional economic development, thinking about rural, suburban, and urban areas as integrated regional economies is really important, and not getting into dividing this province the way some others have. This also impacts on medium and small communities. The discussion we're having today about Greenfield Ethanol has brought a major plant. About a year ago, we contributed $4 million through my ministry to that effort. This keeps jobs and brings jobs to Chatham-Kent and to protecting and advancing the economies of our mid-sized cities that seem to be the roadkill of the modern economy. Things go to small communities and to the farm, or they go to the big city, and our mid-sized cities have been particularly difficult. We're doing similar things with biogasification in places like Sarnia, and as you know, some of these are opposition health seats, so I'm very happy to say that there is no partisan streak in this. This has been very generously done on need. This contribution to ethanol is really important because Greenfield Ethanol is creating a part of a sophisticated complex to try and meet and give us clean and affordable, useful, economically beneficial investments. So there's investments in solar and wind. We are continuing to try to clean up and improve our nuclear platform that we've inherited. We are also now looking at ethanol in a very serious way. Greenfield's ethanol is one of the highest performance. They are using a lot of waste material, which we encourage, the use of corn cobs. I'm not that familiar with the more sophisticated approach they've taken to it. They are using the ratio of energy generated versus energy inputs into creating this energy is extremely positive. Part of our interest in realizing that is that 30, 40 years ago, the ratios in biofuels were not what we wanted them to be, and the investments and the R&D and innovation going on in Ontario is proving this to be an extraordinarily viable and useful source of it. To give you, as this is also an environmental initiative, if we could get ethanol up to 35% of our fuel, of our gasoline in this country, we would save 1.8 million tons of CO2 emissions would be reduced. These things are critical to us to get cleaner fuels out there because it also comes back that it is ironic that it is the toxins and the impacts on climate that are also impacting on farms and our food supply in other ways. The instability of the climate is critical. We have, if you've been following the Globe and Mail series over the last few years, we have lost half of the 20 most common bird species in North America. These are many of our pollinating species that most of us grew up with, seeing robins in the front yard. That kind of thing is very difficult. We have, for multiple reasons, losing honeybees and colonizing honeybees, almost disappeared from California. They're now using independent non-colonizing bees, not working out very well. Our inability to, as one of my friends who's a very eminent biologist once said to me, always watch the pollinating species if you want to understand what the canary in the minefield is. Because if we start seeing a breakdown of pollinating species, that starts to become an existential question for human beings. And as we're on track to lose one-third of the species on this planet by 2050, if you don't think that those human beings who have one of the most complex relationships with nature and are more dependent on man-made or human being-made solutions to food and energy. So we see this as a complex web of food, energy, economic growth, and jobs. Has it worked? Well, we're now one of the three largest clean tech clusters in the world. Our bioeconomy is larger in this province than our aerospace economy or a very sizable auto economy. That tells me that we're successful. We've also gone through major tax reform. We've recovered 114% of the jobs lost in the recession 18 months ago. If you compare it to the United States, that's 14%. And this company and these kinds of investments in innovative energy have been at the very center of creating this job. So thank you very much. Let me turn it over to you now.
Thank you.